Well, this evening we continue our series, our study of the Shorter Catechism, these questions and answers that were penned, written down for us in generations gone by, years gone by, for our instruction and ultimately to teach us what we believe the Word of God, the Bible, to be saying. And so tonight we turn to question 9 of the Shorter Catechism, and the question is, what is the work of creation? What is the work of creation? And we can maybe say the answer together as it appears on the screen. Let's say these words: the work of creation is God's making all things of nothing by the word of his power in the space of 6 days, and all very good. Amen. And let's turn to God's word then, and we're going to read from Genesis chapter 1, the whole of Genesis 1 up to verse 3 of chapter 2. Genesis 1 up to verse 3 of chapter 2. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good. And God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. And God said, "Let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters." And God made the expanse, and separated the waters that were under the expanse from the waters that were above the expanse. And it was so. And God called the expanse heaven. And there was evening, and there was morning, the second day. And God said, "Let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear." And it was so. God called the dry land earth, and the waters that were gathered together he called seas. And God saw that it was good. And God said, "Let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruit trees bearing fruit in which is their seed, each according to its kind on the earth." And it was so. The earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed according to their own kinds, and trees bearing fruit in which is their seed, each according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the third day. And God said, "Let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night. And let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And let them be lights in the expanse of the heavens to give light upon the earth." And it was so. And God made the two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night, and the stars. And God set them in the expanse of the heavens to give light on the earth, to rule over the day and over the night, and to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the fourth day. And God said, "Let the water swarm with swarms of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the expanse of the heavens." So God created the great sea creatures and every living creature that moves, with which the waters swarm according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters and the seas, and let birds multiply on the earth." and there was evening, and there was morning, the fifth day. And God said, let the earth bring forth living creatures according to their kinds, livestock and creeping things and beasts of the earth according to their kinds. And it was so. And God made the beasts of the earth according to their kinds, and the livestock according to their kinds, and everything that creeps on the ground according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God he created him. Male and female he created them. And God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the face of all the earth and every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the heavens, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has the breath of life, I have given every green plant for food. And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God finished his work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it God rested from all his work that he had done in creation. Amen, and thanks be to God for his holy and inerrant word. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we do thank you again for this great blessing of another Lord's Day, and for the freedom that we have to open up the great treasure chest of Holy Scripture, the place, Lord, where you delight to reveal yourself to us by the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And we thank you, Lord, that you desire that we would be transformed by the renewal of our minds. And we thank you that you are glad to undertake that work on behalf of your people. And so we give ourselves to that this evening, and we do pray that you would teach us, that you would transform us, and that you would cause us to be more and more aware of who you are, and that we might increasingly delight to declare your praise and to walk according to your precepts. We pray, our Father, that you would minister to us this evening as we meditate upon the truth of your inerrant and living word. We pray, O Lord, for the help of your Holy Spirit, and that all that is said would be first and foremost to your honour and glory and praise, and secondly, to the benefit and blessing of all the saints. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, without wanting to in any way begin this evening in a way that is all doom and gloom, I'm sure none of you need me to tell you that we live at a time in history in our nation. Perhaps we could say we have done for many years, when the vast majority of people go about their weekly business without any reference to and without any real regard for Almighty God. The proportion of the population attending church on any given Lord's Day bears witness to that truth, doesn't it? And it strikes me that one of the fundamental reasons as to why this has come to be the case, at least in terms of a human explanation, is that over the past 300 or 400 years, particularly following the so-called Age of Enlightenment and later on Darwin's theory of evolution, what has sadly come to be the case, even to some extent in the professing church, is that almost by default, man has by and large rejected the foundational truth that this magnificent material world owes its origin to the one true and living God, the one who made all things in the beginning. The ultimate explanation or reason as to why that is the case is, of course, the fact that all men are sinners and fallen and in rebellion against God because of the fall, Genesis chapter 3. But the way in which that fallenness very often expresses itself today and has done, particularly over the past couple of centuries, is in the way that man increasingly attempts to explain the origin and the workings of this universe in purely humanistic terms, without any reference to, without any acknowledgement of the Creator God. And this is one of the reasons why I think it's important for us to be reminded of what the Bible says on this vital subject, as is summarized for us here in the answer to question 9 of the Shorter Catechism. The question is, what is the work of creation? Answer, the work of creation is God's making all things of nothing by the word of his power in the space of 6 days, and all very good. Now there's four very basic and yet wonderful truths in that answer that comes to us in the Catechism. And so this evening I want us to take each of those four truths in turn. I will think briefly about them, and then afterwards we'll think about some of the implications of these points for our own lives. First of all, it says God made all things of or out of nothing. God made all things out of nothing. One of the great benefits of reading Genesis chapter 1 is that we see so clearly there in what is a historical account. It's not an allegory. It's not a work of metaphor, but a historical account. We see there that all things were made methodically and in order by God, and that he made all things ex nihilo, meaning from or out of nothing. The very first verse of Holy Scripture says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Not in the beginning God created a semblance of order out of chaos, or God took some pre-existent atoms and other physical entities that happened to be floating around in the atmosphere and he just happened to find them and to piece them all together. but that when there was nothing apart from the eternal triune God, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, He created all things. Night and day, light and darkness, day one. A separation of the atmospheric waters above from the oceanic waters below on day two. Dry land and vegetation and plants and fruit-bearing trees on day three. The sun and the moon and the stars, day four. Fish in the sea, birds in the air, all kinds of living creatures, day five. Finally, the great pinnacle of His created brilliance, man in His own image, male and female, on day six. All things bright and beautiful, all creatures great and small, all things wise and wonderful, the Lord God made them all things out of nothing. Second, God created all things out of nothing by the word of His power. It is a staggering thing, is it not, to think that everything I just mentioned, from the sun and the moon and the stars, to the dry land and the seas and all of the creatures of this world, the entirety of the cosmos, all of this was not only created by this one true and triune God out of nothing, but created by the word of His power. And yet this is the testimony of the scriptures, isn't it? Eight times in Genesis chapter 1, we read those three simple words. And God said. And God said. As if to underline the fact that it's not just that God is the author, that He is the source of all things and all of life, but really to impress upon us by way of this repetition, emphasizing this particular way in which He brought all things into being. No raw materials, no mechanical instruments, simply the command of Almighty God. Psalm 33 says, by the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and by the breath of His mouth, all their host. For He spoke, and it came to be. He commanded, and it stood firm. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, the breath of His mouth, all their host. He spoke, and it came to be. He commanded, and it stood firm. Thomas Watson, the Puritan, he said this. He said, when Solomon had to build a temple, he needed many workmen, and they all had tools to work with. But God wrought without tools. The disciples wondered that Christ could, with a word, calm the sea. But it was more with a word to make the sea. And of course we know from the scriptures that Christ Himself was at the very center of that creative work, wasn't He? Not only with the power to still the sea, but the one who was there in the beginning, creating the sea, because remember what it says in Colossians chapter 1. It says that by Him, that is by Christ, all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created by Him and for him. The first chapter of John's Gospel: in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. It's amazing, isn't it? Not only did God create all things out of nothing, but all things by the word of his power, and this through Christ, his beloved Son, the Word who was with God, the Word who was God in the beginning, and that same Word that became flesh for our salvation. Thirdly, God created all things out of nothing by the word of his power in 6 days. As I come to this point, it feels like we should almost have a process of elimination. Who's still with me? Who's still with the catechism? Who's still with the word? I'm very aware that it's become common in the evangelical church for men to stand up and really almost by default speak about the fact that there are many different views on this subject, which is of course true, although that is always the case, isn't it? But these many people will say, well, you know, Genesis chapter 1 isn't intended to be a book of science, and therefore we don't need to take these things too literally. As long as we just come to the conclusion that God is the ultimate source of creation, we don't need to get too bogged down with how he did it. We don't need to get too bogged down with timescales. As long as we come to the conclusion that he was the one who ultimately brought all things into being. Well, I don't want to spend a long time this evening trying to refute those various claims, but I do want to say that it is my own firm conviction that the book of Genesis is a historical record. It is a historical record written by Moses under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and that the plain teaching of this text is that God made all things out of nothing by the word of his power in 6 days. Christians may want to argue with this, whether it's on the basis of what Darwin has said or one of the many theories from within the scientific community, not the whole of the scientific community, it should be added, or perhaps because a certain famous evangelical has said something about there being no need to believe in a historical Adam, for example. But the fact remains, you cannot honestly draw those conclusions from the plain teaching of God's holy word, because it declares that there was morning and there was evening the first day, followed by morning and evening the second day, and so on until you get to the 7th day, when God rested from all his work. In other words, and more positively speaking, there was, it seems to me, from the very first page of our Bibles, from chapter 1 of Genesis, it seems to be the case that there was, within the very process of God's creative handiwork, this sequential order of 7 24-hour days that continue now to make up the pattern and the rhythm of our lives until the end of the age. The reason that our lives are marked out by 7 days each week, 7 24-hour periods, is because these are the days that our good God created in the beginning. Now, again, you may want to disagree with me on these things, but trust me, when you're in glory, you'll discover that I was right. God made all things out of nothing by the word of his power in 6 days. And finally, the Catechism says, and all very good. At the end of the sixth day of creation, not after 6,000 years or 600,000 years or 6 million or billion years, but after 6 days, it says in Genesis 1:31, and God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. What does that mean? It means that there was no sin, nor were there any of the outworkings of sin, or any of the expressions of evil that we now see in the world, in that world which God first created. You think about the world in which we now live, friends. Think about the world around us this evening as we meet in this place tonight on the Lord's Day, and as it has been ever since the fall. It's a world where 40,000 people can be killed almost instantly in an earthquake, where hundreds of thousands can be swept away in a tsunami, where millions die every year from malnutrition and all kinds of different diseases. That's before we even come to thinking about the different expressions of sin and evil that we're reminded of in the news every day or in the newspapers. Man's inhumanity to man and all of the ways in which human beings live in defiance of God and so often exercise hatred towards one another. When you're surrounded by all of that, it's the very atmosphere that we live within, isn't it? And we can forget, we can begin to think that that's normal. It's just how it's always been. What is the scripture telling us here in this verse? It's telling us that none of these things were a part of God's original design. Just as God himself is altogether good, just as God himself is holy and pure, without sin or corruption or decay, so too was the work of his hands. Again, Thomas Watson said this. He said, God made all things very good. That is, without defect or deformity. The creation came out of God's hands a curious piece. It was a fair copy, without any blot, written with God's own fingers. His work was perfect. This reminds us of what we have to look forward to if we belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, doesn't it? This reminds us that we are now those who can look forward to the new heavens and the new earth, Eden restored. Only this time there will be no serpent. This time there will be no further temptation. Just a vast multitude of God's redeemed children, glorified saints, at last at home with our Saviour and our God forever, in a world where there is no sin, where there is no evil, there is no violence, no corruption, no earthquake, no famine, no death, none of these things, for all these former things will have passed away. And when we read of creation, we are reminded that this is the purpose of God. This is the work of his hands. And this too is our great hope as those who've been redeemed in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, dear friends, what then are the implications of all of this? What difference should it make that God made all things out of nothing by the word of his power in 6 days, and all very good. Let me just mention three things before we close tonight. There are so many things we could think about and speak of, but here are three implications. First of all, if God created all things out of nothing, then we must recognize what is his purpose in creation, and we must respond accordingly. Psalm 19, the heavens declare the glory of God. The sky above proclaims his handiwork. The Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 1, for God's invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made. The purpose of God in creating the universe was to display his glory, that we might then respond to that display by ascribing glory to him. The problem is, as you know, because of sin, the entrance of sin into the world and the fall in Genesis chapter 3, as Paul would go on to say in that same chapter, Romans chapter 1, man suppresses the truth and he chooses to exchange the glory of the immortal God for images. And friends, that is why we need the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, isn't it? Because it is only in Christ and through the transformation that he brings to our lives that we can then be restored and we can be brought back to this proper order of things, whereby we acknowledge God as our creator and we dedicate the whole of our lives to glorifying him and to enjoying him forever. The chief end of man, we're back at question one, is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. But friend, if you are here tonight and you are outside of Christ, then as one who has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, as we all have, the problem is that you are unable to do this great thing. You're unable to live for this chief purpose, the reason he made you in the first place. And we need to come out from that place of being under his condemnation. And we need to turn to Jesus Christ. And when we do, when we look to him and believe the gospel, he is pleased to change us from within, to replace our heart of stone with the heart of flesh, and to lead us in such a way that we might live for this wonderful purpose of glorifying him and enjoying him forever. This is the first purpose in creation, to display the glory of God, and that in Christ we might respond by ascribing glory to him. Secondly, if God made all things out of nothing by the word of his power in 6 days, then if we now belong to that God through faith in the Lord Jesus, we surely ought to be greatly assured and very confident of his power and his ability to preserve our lives and to do all that he has promised to do by making all things new in the end. Psalm 124 verse 8 says, our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. You see, there is a logical connection in these two statements, these two declarations that are made by the psalmist. What is the logical implication? The logical implication is that if the Lord, our Savior, is the maker of heaven and earth, which he is, then how confident we ought to be of his power to help us and to do everything that he has ever promised to do for us. By his word, he is the one who created the heavens and the earth. He is the one who gives life to those who were dead in their trespasses and sins, who breaks the chains of the evil one, sets us free from the dominion of the devil, as we've been thinking about in our study of 1 John. He is the one who brings us out of that darkness and into his marvelous light. He is powerful to then deliver us from all evil, to lead us not into temptation, to keep us in Jesus Christ until the very end. And he is powerful and capable and willing of making all things new in the end, so that we can then live with him in a world without end. Dear friends, whenever you doubt God's ability to grow his church in the face of evil, or to help you with a seemingly insurmountable problem or circumstance, or to finish that which he first began in you by bringing you at last into his heavenly kingdom, just think, consider his work of creation. Think especially, of course, of the life, death, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, the very means by which all these things are given to us. But think about the work of his creation. Think about the power of his word to create galaxies and the solar system and the mountains and the rivers and the oceans and all of the beauty of this earth. Why? Because there is all the evidence you will ever need to be reminded that whereas, humanly speaking, so much in life is impossible, yet with God, everything is possible. Thirdly and finally, if God created all things in 6 days, and he rested on the seventh day, then it surely stands that the very best thing we can do, both for our own benefit and for his own glory, is to follow in that same pattern by setting aside this Lord's Day, this one day in seven, as a special day on which we get to rest in him and worship his name. My dad used to often speak about a man who was very influential in his own Christian life, a man who was a great witness to him in his younger years, when he was living as a boy or a young man in North Berwick. The man was the owner of a gentleman's tailor shop in the town where my dad had a job. And he said about this man that not only did he insist on closing his shop on the Lord's Day, but he always was careful to make sure that the shutters were down on the shop windows, just so that he wouldn't be a stumbling block, so that no one else would be distracted by the cares of the world on a Sunday. And the point of mentioning that is not to get all heavy about how much the fourth commandment is now so trampled underfoot by society at large. And it's not to suggest any form of legalism. This man was simply displaying a sensitive spirit and a degree of reverence for the Lord And it's simply to say that it does matter. Because when we remember the Sabbath by keeping it holy, we not only obey the commandment of God, but we reflect and we demonstrate a holy respect for His order at creation. We ascribe glory to Him. We serve as a witness to a watching world. And we really do benefit from the sanctified rest which He provides. Isn't that true? God made all things of nothing by the word of His power in the space of 6 days, and all very good. And on the seventh day, He rested. Let us pray together. Let's pray. Our great God and our Father in heaven, we do marvel once more this evening at the power and the work of Your hands, to think that You did indeed create all things out of nothing by the word of Your power in 6 days, and to think that You did all of this and it was very good. We thank You, O Lord, that by that same word You have transformed our lives in the Lord Jesus Christ, that we might live for Your purposes in the world, and that we might look forward to the new heavens and the new earth, to that life with our Saviour in a kingdom where, as we've just been reflecting together, where there will be no more sadness, no more mourning or pain, where every tear will be wiped away. We pray, O Lord our God, that You would give us the faith to be those who are looking each day to that city which has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. We pray, O Lord, for any here this evening who are facing great struggles, battles, Lord, which seem to be insurmountable. We pray that by the power of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, that You would be pleased to set them free. We pray, O Lord, that each and every one, that we would find ourselves at the foot of the cross, and that place, O Lord, where mercy is found, where we find the forgiveness of our Creator. We thank You for Your grace and Your goodness to us in Jesus Christ our Lord. We pray that as we go into another week, that You would help us to stay close to the Good Shepherd. We pray that we would each know the joy of His love and His presence with us. And we pray that by Your Holy Spirit at work in our lives, we would do all things to His honour and His glory and praise. We ask our Father in heaven that You would go before us and be with us. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.